بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه وبعد. This is our class number 11, 11th session, book 2. And we have a few things to complete from lesson 5, inshallah. Just a couple of things that we have to complete from lesson 5 before we go into the new lesson 6. I hope, inshallah, that you had a chance to look at lesson number 6, because we are really finished lesson number 5. I mean, there's almost nothing remaining. But before we go on to lesson 6, I just want to remind you of what we were talking about before the Salat, okay? For anybody who has come since the Salat, we just want to remind you that in the last lesson, lesson number 5 that we're about to complete now, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, the main thing that we were talking about is the jumla fi'liya. Okay, that's composed primarily of two components, that is al-fi'lu and al-fa'ilu. Al-fi'lu and al-fa'ilu. We said that the jumla fi'liya is a jumla that begins with a fi'l, as opposed to a jumla ismiya that begins with a ism. Okay, we discussed in detail about the jumla ismiya, but that is not as important at this moment as what we are talking about here, that is the jumla fi'liya. Jumla fi'liya begins with a fi'l, and it's composed of al-fi'lu, the action that is taking place, and al-fa'ilu, the one who is doing the action, the subject, al-fa'ilu. And sometimes there's also al-maf'ulu bihi. Sometimes for some verbs there's al-maf'ulu bihi, the object of the verb, the object of the action. Okay? So, one thing that I didn't mention before the Salat, and it's good that I mention it now, and that is that the fa'il is always marfu'un, and the maf'ulun bi is always mansubun. That's very important to remember, okay? In the jumla ismiya, there's a mubtada and a khabar. Okay, the mubtada is always marfu'un, and the khabar, if it's a mufrad, single word, is also marfu'un. The mubtada and the khabar are both marfu'un. As far as in the jumla fi'liya, the fa'il is marfu'un. As far as the maf'ulun bi, it is mansub. The sign that is mansub is fatta. Sign that is mansub is that fatta. Okay, alamatu nasbihi fatta. Al fatta zahira ala akhiri. Huh? The fi'l? The fi'l is different. It's a different matter altogether. Okay, we'll talk about that when we go to al-mudari. But for now, we don't have, it's not applicable here. That particular discussion is not applicable to the fi'l. Okay, so we have the fi'l, we have the fa'il, we have the maf'ulun bi, and that was lesson number 5. We also said before the salat that the fa'il, it could be an ism zahir, like in this sentence, a noun that you see, that's apparent. Daraba bilalun al-walada. So this ism zahir is the fa'il. But it's also possible that the fa'il could be a dhamir. As we said here, in this sentence, daraba bilalun al-walada wa qatalahu. This sentence here, this jumla fi'liya, qatalahu, composed of qatala, the fi'l, the fa'il is dhamir mustatir, taqdiruhu huwa, and the maf'ulun bi is dhamir. Dhamir. Okay, so it's possible that the maf'ulun bi could be a dhamir. So the fa'il and the maf'ulun bi, they could be either ism zahir or they could be a dhamir. Alright, that's what we talked about before the salat, and this is just a reminder to us of these important components of the jumla fi'liya. And this is a foundation for Arabic language, the jumla fi'liya. It's very important that we understand what's the difference between the jumla ismiya and the jumla fi'liya, and what are their component parts. The jumla ismiya is composed of two essential elements. Jumla ismiya, right? composed of two essential elements. They are the Mubtada'u and the Khabaru, subject and the predicate. And the Jumla Fi'liya is also composed of two essential elements, and that is Al-Fi'lu and Al-Fa'ilu. And sometimes there's a maf'ulun bi, but not all the time, okay? We did all the exercises in this lesson, except the last two exercises, or maybe a couple of, two sentences from the next to the... I don't think we did all of them. Because
no.
I wrote in my book, Huna, and that's what I normally write wherever we stop at. Okay, we stopped after the second question of exercise number 9. On the last page of the lesson 35, we did 1 and 2 of exercise number 9. We didn't do 3 and 4, and we didn't do exercise number 10. We didn't do exercise number 10. We talked about it. I mentioned to you to make sure you do it, but we didn't do it in class.
We did 3 and 4. He mentioned before we left, before the other.
Uh-huh. 3 and 4?
Yeah.
Oh, we came back to it and did 3 and 4?
You said you didn't really go into it, you said we'll do it next time.
Okay, so we just went through it quickly. But anyway, exercise number 10 we didn't do at all. And number 11 we just need to look at. It's nothing to do, it's just for us to contemplate upon, to reflect upon, to examine. Okay? Alright, so let's go back to exercise number 9, which is on the top of page 35. Exercise number 9 on the top of page 35. Okay, we did 1 and 2, and maybe we did 3 and 4 quickly, but just as a reminder to you, this exercise says, قَوِّن جُمَلًا مِثْلَ هَذِهِ مُسْتَعْمِلًا الْفِعْلَيْنِ الْوَارِدَيْنِ فِي كُلِّ تَمْرِينَ وَمُسْتَعِينًا بِالْكَلِمَاتِ الَّتِي بَيْنَ الْقَوْسَيْنِ. Okay, compose sentences like these, and like the sentences that were given, using the two verbs that have been mentioned here, okay? In each one there will be two verbs. In this first one is dakhala and jalasa. In each of the exercises, seeking help or aid from al-kalimat al-lati bayn al-qawsayn, the words which are between the brackets. What are the words between the brackets? The two nouns, al-tullab and al-fasl. So you got two verbs and you got two nouns. And they want you to use all of these words to make sentences like the sentences that we had done before. Okay, so what you have to do in this exercise, you have to use those two verbs, right? And you have to use them with the nouns that are given in the brackets. And you have to have one verb before the noun and one verb after the noun, right? One verb before the noun and one verb after the noun. And the purpose of that is for you to remember the rule that if the verb comes before a dual or plural fa'il, if the verb comes before the fa'il, and that fa'il is dual or plural, the verb is not going to be dual, nor is it going to be plural. It's going to be what? Singular. But if the verb comes after the mubtada, the verb comes after the mubtada, and the mubtada is plural, the verb must be plural. If the mubtada is dual, the verb must be dual. It must reflect the number. Okay? If the verb comes after the subject, the mubtada of the sentence. But if the verb comes before it, the verb will be singular in every case. Okay? If the verb comes first, it has to be singular. That's what we were doing in that exercise. In case you didn't remember, that's what we were doing. Okay? So, we already did those four, but we're going to do them again, inshallah, just for practice. Okay, somebody, take the first one. Dakhala and jalasa. Naam, Abdul Haq.
Dakhala al-tullab.
Okay. Dakhala al-tullab, he said, fil fasli. What's wrong with that? There's no preposition used with dakhala if you're entering a real place. If it's a real physical place, then there's no preposition fi used with it. You don't say dakhala fi al-fasl, you say dakhala al-fasla. Okay? We talked about that last week. Huh? Alright. No problem, but good. The exercise here is dealing with what? The use of the verb before and after, that's correct, okay? Dakhala, he said singular. At-tullabu, which is plural. But the verb came first, so it's singular. Dakhala at-tullabu al-fasla wa jalasu. Verb came after, it has to reflect the number, so it's plural. Okay? Dakhala at-tullabu. Singular, plural. Wa jalasu, plural. Plural, plural, right? Okay, second one, number two. Ithnan. Abdul Karim. Huh? Baraba.
I don't know, I thought you said Dahab.
Al-Walidu.
Al-Awladu.
Al-Awladu.
What's the pronoun on the end of qatalu? What? What did they qatalu? Qatalu. Use a pronoun there. Ha. Qatalu ha. Naam. Baraba al-awladu al-hayyata wa qatalu ha. Okay, daraba al-awlad. Awlad is plural, but because the verb came first, it's singular. Daraba al-awladu al-hayyata. مفعول به, right? منسوب وعلامة نصبه what? What is the sign of it being منسوب? الحية فتحة فتحة وقتلوها قتلوها. ها refers back to what? الحية. What does الحية mean?
Snake.
Snake. نعم. طيب number three. أبو بكر.
قرأت الطلاب الدرس وفهمته.
Okay. قَرَأَ الطُّلَّابُ الدَّرْسَ وَفَهِمْتُهُ. He said, the students read the lesson and I understood it. What about them? What did they understand it too? Listen. He said, the students read the lesson and I understood it. And I understood it. What about the students? فَهِمْتُ. What's the plural, third person, masculine plural for Fahima? Fahimubtu. Somebody help me. Fahimu, darabu, jalasu. Huh? Ya Allah. Tayyib, tayyib, jayyid. Okay. Qara'a at-tullabu. At-tullabu is plural, qara'a is singular because it's coming before, right? Qara'a at-tullabu ad-darsa. الدرسه is مفعول به علامة نصبه. The sign that is نص منصوب is what? فتحة. وفاهموه. And they فاهموه. Verb comes after, it has to reflect the number, plural, right? فاهمو. Yeah, and فاهمو, the alif that is written there at the end of that form of the verb, right? فاهمو درسوا, whatever. If you add a pronoun to it, a suffix, you add a suffix to that verb, the alif is not written. Alif is not written. The alif from fahimu, it's not written.
Alif is not written.
Yeah, don't write the alif. If you add a suffix to the word, to the end of the verb form, you don't write the alif with it. Fahimu hu. Hu. They understood him, and they understood him. Is that what it means?
It
referring to what?
Dars
is masculine or feminine?
Masculine.
Tayyib. Arba. Somebody else who didn't read yet. Somebody who didn't read. Okay, Salahuddin. Naam. Jayyid. Sami'a an-nasu. Samia is singular and nas is plural. Al-adhana. Maf'ulun bi mansoob. Naam. Wadhahabu plural. Comes after, it's plural. Ila al-masjidi. Fine. Next exercise, ashara. At-tamreen al-ashir. Qawwin. Qawwin. Jumalan. What does that mean? Qawwin. Compose sentences. Musta'amilan. What does that mean? Using. Using. Naam. Al-kalimat al-atiya. Following words. Okay? So they gave you the words. I want you to make sentences from them. Okay, first one. Naam. Naam. Use it just the way it is. Don't change the verbs. Use them just the way they are. Oh, okay, I don't know. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Okay. No, go ahead. You're good. Okay. Allahu A'lam, in this exercise, do they want you to use extra verbs? I don't think so. But it's okay though. Akalat tullabu. Huh? What you said? Huh? Yeah, akalat tullabu wa? Wa sharibu. What does that mean?
They ate and they drank. I mean, the students ate and they drank.
The students ate and they drank. Five. Next one. Huh? He's saying akala at-tullabu. Naam, because he's combining, right? Hamzat al-wasl. Hamzat al-wasl and harf, huruf shamsiya, right? At-tullab, ta is... Yeah, he's saying akala, right? Then you have alif lam and ta, min huruf shamsiya. No, that's why I thought he was saying akalat in the beginning. That's why I said leave the verb the way it is. But then when I realized he was finishing the sentence, he just paused for a second, but really he was connecting it. That's why it threw me off in the beginning. But then I realized he was connecting it. Now, okay, next one. Ghasala al-qamisu. So give us a fa'il. A ism zahir. Okay, same sentence. Ghasala al-qamis. What's the vowel on qamis? Al-qamisa. طيب. Or you can say ghasala al-waladu al-qamisa. طيب. Next one.
Maybe I need to wrong.
Yeah, it's okay.
I know I probably had it wrong though.
No, it's all right.
Ghasala mudarisu muna.
قمصان غسل المدرسون Yeah, it's okay because you're saying غسل المدرسون. That's good. Okay, مدرسون is plural, but the verb is before, so it's singular verb. That's good. No problem. نعم. Okay, next one. قرع. نعم مصطفى. I think so. Okay, kataba, no problem. You can do kataba and then we'll come back after you write it, we'll read it, inshallah. At-tullabu, qara'a, at-tullabu, ad-darsa. Tayyib. Qara'a is singular, at-tullabu is plural. Is your same example you have?
Yes.
You wrote the same thing? Yeah, they're working together, man. Look at over each other's shoulders. No problem. Naam, you can work together, you know. Ta'awunu ala al-birri wa taqwa. No problem. You can help each other. It's no problem with that. Homework is okay. It's only on the exam. Tayyib, next one. Kataba, naam. Abu Bakr. Kataba, you said? المدرس الدرس على السبورة. نعم. Next one. ضرب.
ضرب الولد
بالعصا. نعم بالعصا جد. نعم. طيب. So he said what? ضرب. المدرس الولد بالعصا. نعم. ضرب الرجل Abana. What's the end of it? I didn't hear it. Abnahu. Ibnahu. Baraba. Ar-Rajulu. Ibnahu. Ibnahu. طيب. Ibna is mansub, right? Is mafulun bi mansub. Alamat nasbihi fatha. Naam. طيب. Qatala. Qatala. Naam. Huh? قتل الحياة. Stop. Okay, look. قتل الحياة. What's wrong with that? Is that what he means or is it a mistake? Huh? Okay. We want to put a file in there. Can you put a file in there? قتل. Yeah, a file. Ism ظاهر, a noun that we can see, just so that we can see the marfoon and mansubun and stuff like that. Okay, that sentence is correct, but it's just so that we can see the fi'l, fa'l, and marfoon, and we want to see it. Although otherwise, it's dhamir mustatir, taqdiruhu, no problem. Alright, qatala, but there's something else with the sentence though. He said, qatala al hayatu. Al-hayatu? Al-hayatu? There's two problems here. Al-hayat? What is hayat? Life. He killed life. No, I don't think so. Hayya. Hayya? Hayat. Hayya? Hayat. Hayya is a snake. Hayat is life. Okay. قتل حية تو مفعول به. Okay, either it will be قتل الحية or قتل حية. Right? Yes, either definite or indefinite. الحية وحية. طيب. Huh? طيب, go ahead. الطالب خرج في البيت. He went out in the house. Went out من البيت. الطالب خرج من البيت. نعم. Okay, what if we make it a jumla fi'liya? How would it be? If we make the same exact sentence, that's a jumla ismiya. What if you make it a jumla fi'liya? How would it be? Somebody change the sentence to a jumla fi'liya. It has to be tullabu? It's the exact same sentence. Just make it a jumla fi'liya. He said, at-talibu kharaja min al-bayti. Kharaja al-talibu min al-bayti. Just switch it. If you make it from jumla ismiya to jumla fi'liya, just put the fi'l first. You can change it, yeah. Alright. What about dakhala? Nobody did dakhala? Did we use that one?
No.
Yeah, go ahead. Abu Bakr, you have one?
Dakhala
al-tullabu al-fasla. Now, somebody else give me another sentence for that. Same word. Dakhala al-imamu al-masjida. Another one. Different one. Dakhala.
Dakhala rajulu
as-sayyara. Dakhala ar-rajulu sayyara. What? As-sayyarata? Okay. As-sayyarata. What if you wanted to say? The man entered his car. How would you say it?
We added the do for.
Huh?
We added the word do.
The word what?
I need to write it.
Dakhala? You want to say the man entered his car.
You want to say the garage.
Sayarati? He entered his car? Sayarati?
Sayarati.
Not to who, and not Sayarati either. Sayaratuka, your car, right?
No, this car. Dakhala
rajul as-sayaratahu. As-sayaratahu? Can you have alif lam? Can you have alif lam on a noun with a damir attached to it? No, it's an idafa, right? The first part of idafa cannot take alif lam.
We can add a do.
Huh?
Do, the word do.
Do?
Let me look the word first.
Okay, give it, correct it now while you're looking for it.
Dakhala rajulu sayyaratahu.
Dakhala ar-rajulu sayyaratahu. Who? His car. Sayaratahu.
But it's feminine anyway. It's feminine.
Yeah.
Who is referring back?
Sayara. Sayara ends with tarmabuta, right? Sayaratahu. But when you add the pronoun, it's no longer tarmabuta, right? It's regular ta.
Right.
When you add a suffix to a noun that ends with tarmabuta, it does not remain tarmabuta. Because tarmabuta can only be the last letter of a word. No letter can follow tarmabuta in a word.
The word
do
is the possessor, like he possesses the car, like the owner of the car.
Do? Oh. If you say do,
The word that we were saying was Dakhala rajulu do sayara, sayarati.
What does it mean?
Yeah,
that's different completely. Okay, alhamdulillah, you got it, no problem. Dakhala jannatahu. There it is, alhamdulillah. Fine. Okay, hafiza. Sentence for hafiza. حافظ الولد القرآن. Give me another one.
كتب محمد.
ها؟ حافظ.
وحفظه.
أها. أو كتب.
كتب محمد الدرس.
كتب محمد. أها.
وحفظه محمود.
كتب محمد الدرس.
وحفظه محمود.
وحفظه محمود. طيب جيد. اوكي حافظة. شرب. شرب.
انا شرب.
انا شربت. شرب المسلم القهوة. شرب المسلم ضم مرفوع القهوة وفت منسوب. فاهمة. فاهمة. فاهمة الطلاب الدرس. Give me another one with فاهمة. فاهمة الطلاب الدرس. Another one. ما فاهمة الطلاب والدرس. نعم جيد جيد. ما فاهمة. طيب another one وفاهمة with a different file other than طلاب.
فاهمة الطلاب الأسئلة.
فاهمة الطلاب والأسئلة. الأسئلة. Give me another one وفاهمة other than طلاب. Somebody else. Nobody understands except students.
فهم الرجل القرآن.
نعم جيد. طيب you have one. طيب سمع. 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 نعم
سمع محمد القرآن.
Again
الأذان.
Again let me hear the beginning of it. سمع محمد. الأذان. سمع محمد الأذان. سمع محمد الأذان.
How would you say it? سمع
It's a little bit awkward. But more, it would be better to say, Samia Kalam Allah. It's clear what he heard. Kalam Allah. Samia Kalam Allah. Yeah, you can say that. Samia Musa Kalam Allah. طيب نعم كلام الله نعم تأمل ما يلي. Okay, the last exercise is for reflection. تأمل ما يلي. Reflect upon what remains. Okay, عليكم السلام. Okay, the last exercise is reflection upon what remains, and it is really dealing with what? The pronouns. من فتح الباب. من فتح الباب. أنا فتحته. أنا فتحته. They show you what? That the verb, the فعل and the فعل فتحت can be attached to a pronoun, so that you have two pronouns. One pronoun is the فعل, فتحت. One pronoun is the فعل تو, and the second pronoun is the مفعول به هو. من فتح النوافذ. أنا فتحتها. Okay, again, they're showing that the fi'l and the fa'il fatahtu can be attached to a pronoun as a maf'ulun bi fatahtuha. Okay, that's feminine. In the first case, it's masculine. In the second case, it's feminine. Okay, this is the end of lesson 5. Now, let's put there for emphasis. Now, because you can just say fatahtuhu or fatahtuha, but if you say ana, well, first thing is that you change it to a jumla ismiya instead of it being a jumla fi'liya. But also, since you already have the pronoun in fatahtu, it represents ana, so no need for ana. But if you use it, then it's used for emphasis. Naam. Okay, lesson number 6. If you read lesson number 6 already, it would have been nice. Now, this is a long lesson and it contains a lot of points. And inshallah, we're going to try to clarify everything in it today so you can start doing the exercises for homework. Okay, so your homework is the exercises. Write out the exercises from lesson 5 that if you didn't write any of them, you didn't write out yet. And for lesson 6, start doing the exercises. Now. Samia Muhammadun Ana. Muhammad heard me. No, because the ana is damir raf. Damir raf means that it is used as the subject of the sentence. And here, me is the object of the verb. So the damir that's used for when it's mansub is different. The damir and nasb will be ya. Sami'a, sami'ani. Muhammadun. Muhammad heard me. Okay? Because the pronouns, if they are marfu'un, there's one form. And if they are mansub, it's a different form. For mansub and majroor, it's a different form of the verb. The object of the verb, it will come as a pronoun most of the time that's attached to the verb itself.
So okay? That will be
sami'ani.
Sami'ani.
Muhammadun. Naam. Oh yeah. Fine. Okay, lesson number 6. Look at the key, English key in the back of the book on page 19 or whatever page it's on in your copy. Okay, what we deal with this lesson primarily, we're going to feminine matters related to femininity, right? Like for example, we had some of the verb forms before. We had dhahabta, right? But we didn't have dhahabti. And we had dhahaba and dhahabat and dhahabu. But we didn't have zahabti. Okay, so in this lesson we're going to get the feminine form of the verb. Okay, the feminine form of the verb for the second person, the one that you're addressing, mukhataba, when it is feminine singular. And also we're going to deal with the numbers, al-a'dad al-murakkaba, when they are with a ma'adud, that is mu'annath. Before we had the numbers, right, from 11 to 20, when the ma'adud is masculine And now we're going to have when the ma'dud is feminine, mu'annath. Okay? So the same numbers, but there's some difference, right? What is the difference? Basically, in summary, remember that the numbers 11 and 12, both parts of the number, the juz al-awwal with juz al-thani, are going to be muwafiq. Going to be in agreement with the ma'dud. Masculine, masculine. Feminine, feminine. Okay? That's for 11 and 12. As far as 13 to 19, the first part of the number is going to be opposite the ma'dud, and the second part of the number is going to be in agreement with the ma'dud. Okay, so the first part of the number with a feminine ma'dud, the first part of the number is going to be opposite, it's going to be masculine. And the second part is going to be feminine like the ma'dud. Okay, from 13 to 19. So basically, it's the same exact rule that we had before, but before we was looking at the ma'dud, that's masculine, and this time we're looking at the ma'dud that's feminine. So if the ma'dud is feminine, remember the first part of the number has to be masculine. Except 11 and 12, the first part and the second part for 11 and 12, it's going to be the same as the ma'dud. Masculine, masculine, feminine, feminine. Okay, otherwise the rule is the same exact rule that we had a few lessons ago. Okay, so what are we saying here? In this lesson we will learn the following. Dhahabti. Wa alaykum salam. You went. Feminine singular, dhahabti. Okay, we had before dhahaba and dhahabat, right? Singular for third person. And we had dhahabta, singular for second person masculine. Now we have second person feminine. Anti, dhahabti. Alright? That's one thing. That's nothing, right? We already had the verb forms last week, so we already know all the verb forms anyway. Now, just add this to it. Second point. And this is the core of this particular lesson that we're going to have trouble with, the numbers. Unless you practice with them, numbers are going to be a problem for you forever and ever and ever. Practice. The numbers, 11 to 20, with the feminine ma'dud. We have already learned these numbers with the masculine ma'dud in lesson 3. That was a long time ago. Rules pertaining to these numbers with the feminine ma'dud have also been mentioned there. To summarize, A, two parts we want to mention. Two parts, A and B, what I just said. 11 and 12, there's one rule. 13 to 19 is another rule. 11 and 12, both parts of the number agree with the ma'dud. For example, if it was a masculine ma'dud, taliban, you would say, ahada ashara taliban. Ifna ashara taliban. Both parts of the number are masculine, like the ma'dud. But if the ma'dud is feminine, like talibatan, then both parts of the number should be feminine, like the ma'dud. So you say what? Ihda ashrata talibatan. Notice I said ihda ashrata with sukun on the sheen. Ashrata talibatan. Ithnata ashrata. Talibatan, with sukun on the sheen. Ashrata. Okay, notice that both parts of the numbers here are feminine, like the ma'dud. Ihda is the feminine of ahad. And ithnata is the feminine of ithna. Ithna, ashara, taliban, ithnata, asharata, ashrata, talibatan. Notice the origin of ithna. And ithnata is ithnan and ithnatan. Huh? Are you with me? Ithnan and ithnatan. But the noon is deleted in these compound numbers. Ithna ashara and ithnata asharata asharata talibatan. Note that the letter sheen has fatta in ashara and sukoon in ash. Rata. Okay, in the masculine form of the number, the sheen has fatta. In the feminine form of the number, ashrata, it has sukun. Okay, the second point, that's for 11 and 12. As far as 13 to 19, in these numbers, the second part agrees with the ma'dud. Feminine, feminine, masculine, masculine. And the first part does not. For example, with a masculine ma'dud, taliban, thalathata, feminine. Ashara, masculine, taliban, masculine. Okay? thamaniyata feminine, ashara masculine, taliban masculine. Okay, so the first part is opposite the ma'dud. For the feminine ma'dud, talibatan, you have thalatha masculine, ashrata talibatan, feminine, and thamani masculine, ashrata talibatan, feminine. In ashrata, in thamani ashrata, the word thamani has sukoon. Thamani has sukoon. There's no fatta on it, okay? As in the rest of the compound numbers, they all mabniun ala fat. But for thamaniya, the number 8 is always a problem. Pay attention to it in any situation. The number 8 is always a problem. Thamani, not thamaniya. It's not mabniun ala fatta, rather it's mabniun ala sukoon. Alright, so that's what we need to know about the numbers 11 and 12 and 13 to 19. Okay, this just requires practice, that's all. Comparing the masculine numbers to the feminine, the masculine ma'dud, the numbers with the masculine ma'dud to the numbers with the feminine ma'dud just requires practice. 11 and 12, they are equal. They are the same. Masculine, both parts of the number is masculine like the ma'dud for 11 and 12. And for the rest of the numbers, 13 to 19, the first part is opposite the ma'dud, the second part is in agreement with it. Okay, the third point, the third note in this lesson is the word ayyu, which means which, right? We have learnt this word in book 1. It is always mudaf. And the noun following it is majroor, because it is mudafun ilayhi. Okay? The word ayyu, it is always in idafa. So the word that's connected to it is always going to be mudafun ilayhi, majroor with kasra. But as far as the word ayyu itself, it's not always going to be marfu'un. We saw it all the time before as marfu'un, but it's not always going to be marfu'un. If it's following a preposition, it's going to be majroor. If it's following, if the object of the verb, it's going to be mansub. So the first part of this idafa construction, ayu, it can be marfu'un, can be mansubun, can be majroorun. Okay? But the main thing is always an idafa. So the word following it or connected to it is always mudafun ilay, majroor. Okay? So we have, for example, Ayyu talibin kharaja. Which student went out? Ayyu talibin kharaja. We have. After that. Ayya kitabin qara'ata. Ayya kitabin wafatta. Ayya kitabin qara'ata. Which book did you read? And we have. Bi ayyi qalamin katabta. Bi ayyi qalamin katabta. With which pen did you write with? Okay, or with which pen did you write, literally. Okay, bi ayyi. So ayyu, it can be ayyu, can be ayyi, it can be ayya. Okay, note that the word ayy is marfu'un in the first sentence because it is the mubtada. And we said that in a jumla ismiya, the mubtada and khabar is always marfu'un. Okay, so it's the mubtada, so it's marfu'un. And it is mansub in the second sentence because it is the maf'ulun bi. Ayya kitabin qara'ata. It's the maf'ulun bi, the object of qara'ata, right? And it is majroor in the third sentence because it is preceded by the preposition bi. Bi ayyi. Alright? No.
The middle one, can we revert to
that? Okay, the middle one. Ayya kitabin qara'ata. Can we do what?
Can we read the morphology? Can it be, can it come after the kitab? Can we say qara'ata, kitabin,
ayya? No. No, you can't say that. No, because if you say qara'ata kitaba ayya, no. First of all, ayya is always an idafa. It's always an idafa. And it's always the mudafun. And whatever word is connected to it has to be mudafun ilay. It can't be mudafun ilay and the other word mudafun. Ayya is always the mudaf and the word that's with it is mudafun ilay. That's the first thing. Second thing, ayya is a question word. It's an ism, istifham. And the question word, laha sadara. It always begins the sentence. You can't put ayyu in the middle of the sentence or the end of the sentence. Ayyu is a question word. The question word always begins the sentence. Ayyu, men, ma, meta, kaifa. These are question words. The sentence has to begin with them. Alright? They say that the ism istifham laha sadara. Sadara means you begin with it. It has to begin the sentence. That's what you start with. Okay? So you can't say qara'ata ayya kitabin. Even though ayya kitabin is mudaf ilay, right? But you can't say that qara'ata ayya. Because ayya has to begin the sentence. Because that's laha sadara. Naam. Oh, he had his hand up first in the back. Yeah, Ibrahim. Now, if you see a question mark, then you can assume that the first word is a question word. Naam. It might not be absolute, but that's the general rule. Naam, Abdul Karim.
Okay, now let me just try to understand the second one. You're saying the second line.
Naam.
Ayya kitabin qara'ta.
Ayya kitabin qara'ta.
Okay, now in the object of the verb, right?
No.
Is the object of the verb, right? Okay, now in the top lesson, we have a verb, the khara, right? But
no.
The difference that we're trying to say, the difference is that while we got mamsub here, a mubi, is based on the action was done to this, to the book was read.
No.
Okay, is that why?
Okay, that's a good question, alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair. I'm glad you asked that question, because I should have explained it, but pass me, I slipped. Jazakallah khair, you saved me. Fayyib, listen, he's saying, in the second sentence, we have ayya kitabin qara'ata. Ayya is the mafoolun bi, right? It's the object of the verb. In the first sentence, we have ayyu talibun kharaja. So why is it ayyu? In this sentence and ayya in this sentence. We have a verb in both sentences, right? But in the first sentence, ayyu, is it the object of the verb? The verb is kharaja. Is ayyu the object of the verb?
No.
There's no object of the verb. There's only a fi'l and a fa'il. Okay? But in this case, because we're beginning with this noun, then it's the mubtada in this sentence. The mubtada in this sentence is the one that the action is related to. But it's not the object of the action.
Right.
It's the one that the action is actually doing the action. Ayyu talibin kharaja. Okay? So, ayyu here is mudaf, and talibin is mudafun ilayhi. Ayyu is the mubtada of this sentence, and kharaja is the khabar. And we said that the khabar can either be a mufrad, single noun, or it could be a jumla, ismiya or jumla fi'aliya. Or it could be a shibba jumla. So in this case, it's a jumla fi'aliya. In this case, the khabar of this sentence is a jumla fi'aliya. The mubtada is ayyu. It's the mubtada. Talibun is mudawfun ilayhi. And kharaja is the khabar. The khabar could be a jumla, right? It could be a jumla ismiya or jumla fi'aliya. In this case, it's a jumla fi'aliya. So if ayyu is the mubtada, it has to be marfoon, because the mubtada is always marfoon. That's why it's ayyu. And in the second one, it's the maf'ulun bi. That's why it's ayya. And in the third one, it's the ism majroor, following the harf jar. So it's majroor. Ayyi. Bi ayyi. Tayyib? Because it's the mubtada. The mubtada is always marfoon. The sign that it's marfoon is dhamma. Naam, Salahuddin.
There's the
ayy, isn't that the maf'ul bi? No. It's not the maf'ul bi. It's the indirect object. Do you remember I mentioned the indirect object before? Whenever you have a word that appears to be the object of the action, but it's preceded by a preposition, then we don't call it the maf'ulun bi. It's an indirect object. Because it has to be majroor because of what? Because of the preposition. So, if what would have been the object of the action is preceded by a preposition, we don't call it the maf'ulun bi. Okay, if you say it's maf'ulun bi, you have to say it's a maf'ulun bi ghayr sarih. Indirect object. But it's majroor because of the preposition. Okay, so it's not, if you say it's a maf'ulun bi, do you mean by that? Then it should be mansub with fatha? It can't be, because it's majrur because of harf jar. So this is called the indirect object. Yeah, it is the thing that the action is happening to, but because there's interference between the action directly touching it. It's something shielding it from being touched by the action. What is the preposition? And the preposition makes it majrur. That's called indirect object. Okay, if the object is directly affected by the action, directly, without a preposition coming in between, then we call that the maf'ulun bi. But this is the indirect maf'ulun bi. So we don't say it's maf'ulun bi, we say, if you say it's maf'ulun bi, you have to say it is غير صريح. Because indirect. It's not, action is not coming to it directly, but it is intercepted by a preposition which forces it to be majrur. The maf'ulun bi is mansub. This is not mansub, it's majrur. Okay. Ad-darsa is the maf'ulun bi, direct object. But ala sabura could be an indirect object. Naam. But it's intercepted by what? The preposition. Naam.
So the kala is the same as in that last sentence. So the kala is still the...
It's mudawfun ilay. Naam. Mudawfun ilay, majroor. Mudawfun ilay is always majroor. Fayyib? I don't want to get sidetracked with this, because this is just a simple word. Ayu, it's always an idalfa. The word that's connected to is mudawfun ilay. We're just saying that ayu is not always marfoon. If it's the subject of the sentence, the mubtada, it will be marfoon. If it's the object of the verb, it's going to be mansubun. If it's the object of a preposition, it's going to be majrurun. That's basically it. That's all he's really trying to show you here, that this word ayu is not always marfoon. But the word following it always has to be majrur because it's always an idafa.
Would it
be
bi
ayyi zambin? Naam. Naam. Naam.
In the three sentences, we have katratain and after ayyu. That's what it means, mudafa alayhi.
Ayyu talibin? أي كتاب بأي قلم مضاف إليه نعم.
That's what it means مضاف إليه كثرة.
No, no. كثرة means if a word is مضاف إليه, it's always مجرور, and the sign that it's مجرور is كثرة. It could be one كثرة, it could be كثرتين. It doesn't have to be كثرتين. Okay, the مضاف إليه is not always كثرتين. مضاف إليه could take a single vowel. If the مضاف إليه is definite. If it has alif lam, it's going to take a single kasra. But if it's not, if it doesn't have alif lam, then it's going to take a double kasra. Okay. But with the mudaf ilay is not always kasratain, it's always kasra. It has to be kasra because it's majrur. It could be kasratain, or it could be a single kasra, but it has to be a kasra. That's what we're saying. It has to be majrur. But it doesn't have to have a double kasra. It could have a single kasra, or it could have a double kasra. Either way. Okay, quickly, the rest of the points, well, some of them are actually of some importance, yeah. This point is important. I mean, this point is important, yeah. The rest of them are easy. We'll pass through the rest of them, most of them. But this point is important, okay? Point number four. Adhunnu means I think. I think, meaning what? I am not sure. I think here means I am not sure. It doesn't mean I'm thinking about something. I'm thinking about it, okay? That's not the meaning of adhunnu. Adhunnu means I think, meaning I'm not sure about it. I think he is a teacher. I'm not sure.
Huh? Like the people that have some kind of doubt, you can think, Adhunnu Jannu to preserve. I think it's like that to say that you don't have certainness about Jannu.
You're not certain about something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not certain. But actually, okay, it has more meanings, but I'm just trying to say it's not thinking like I'm thinking about something. Okay, it means that I'm not sure. But actually, in some cases, it may have another meaning. But we'll come to that in the future, inshallah.
Book 1, wasn't there a word that was similar to the top? I can't think of the top of my head, but it was...
You gave the example for the teacher.
Like, I'm at the teacher's seat.
Oh, la'alla. La'alla, no. No. Okay, but la'alla, remember la'alla is from? It's akhawatu inna. But adhunnu is a verb. This is a verb, adhunnu. Okay? From dhanna yadhunnu. I think, okay? Let's look, what is the point of this though, right? Adhunnu means I think. He gives us a sentence here. Adhunnu annaha dhahabat ila makkata. Okay? Adhunnu annaha dhahabat ila makkata. I think that she went to Mecca. Anna is a sister of Inna. This is the point we want to know. The adhunnu is used with Anna. From akhawatu Inna. From akhawatu Inna there's Anna, right? So adhunnu is used with this particle, Anna. Adhunnu, I think that such and such and so and so. Okay, that's the point. Adhunnu annaha dhahabat ila makkata. Anna is a sister of Inna. And so its ism is mansub and its khabar is marfu'. Okay, that's the point we want to know. That when you use adhunnu and you use Anna, Anna is from akhawatu Inna. So Anna has an ism, Anna, and a khabar, right? So what we are saying is just like Inna, same thing with Anna, the ism of Anna is mansub. And the khabar of Anna is marfu'un. For example, adhunnu Anna Hamidan maridun. I think that Hamid is sick. Adhunnu Anna Hamidan. Hamid is the ism Anna, mansub. And marid is the khabaru Anna, marfu'un. Ism Anna is like ism inna, mansub. And the khabaru anna is marfu'un. Alright? Adhunnu anna al-imama jadidun. I think that the imam is new. Al-imam is the ism anna, mansub. The sign that is mansub is fatta. Jadid is the khabaru anna, marfu'un. The sign that is marfu'un is dhamma. Okay? Adhunnu أن فاطمة غائبة. I think that Fatima is absent. Okay, أظن أن the ism أن is Fatima. منصوب, sign that is منصوب, فتة. غائبة is the خبر أن, and the خبر أن is مرفوع. علامة رفعه, the sign that is مرفوع is ضمة. علامة رفعه ضمة. أظن أنك متعب. There's a difference here now. Look at this sentence here. أظن أنك متعب. I think that you are tired. What's the difference in this sentence here? What's different about this sentence and the previous sentences before it? أظن أنك متعب. What's the difference in this sentence than the previous sentences in the structure of the sentence grammatically? Only slow down one at a time. Okay, we have a pronoun as what? As ism inna. And ism inna is mansub, right? But pronouns are mabniyun. They don't change. That's the difference here. Now we're showing that the ism inna can be a pronoun. So you're not going to see the sign of it being in the place where it's mansub. Okay, you're not going to see it because pronouns are mabniyun, so they don't really change. So what you say here, right? You say that adhunnu annaka, you have anna, right? And then you have ism anna is a dhamir. Mabniyun. Fi mahalli nasb. In the place where it should be mansub. In the place. Fi mahalli nasb. In the place where it should be mansub. But it's mabniyun, okay? And then the khabru anna is regular. It's marfu'un, like it's supposed to be. Okay, the ism inna is supposed to be mansub. But if it's a dhamir, you don't say it's mansub, you say it's mabniyun. It's fixed. Huh? But it's in the place where it should be mansub. Fi mahalli nasb. Okay? So that's adhunnu. With anna, which is from akhawatu inna, It has an ism and a khabr. The ism is mansub and the khabr is marfu'un. Mansub with fatta, marfu'un with dhamma. Naam.
The ka is
mabniyun. Naam. Okay, it's mabniyun. So we don't see, it's not taking fatta because it's mansub, but rather it's mabniyun ala fatta. Fi mahalli nas.
Because
ka is fixed, khalas, it doesn't change. It doesn't matter if it's ism anna, or it doesn't matter if it's the maf'ulun bi of the verb. It doesn't matter if it's mudaf to a noun, majroor, right, in the place where it should be majroor. In some cases it could be in a place where it's mansub. In some places it could be in a place where it's majroor. But it's not going to change. It doesn't matter. It always remains the same. It's mabniyun. Okay? Okay, number five. Qala innaka ahsanu talibin fil fasli. Qala innaka ahsanu talibin fil fasli. He said, you are the best student in the class. Note that after qala, the particle inna is used and not anna. And we said before that inna is used in the beginning of a sentence. And enna is used after that. Unless the inna is following the verb qala in any of its forms. Qala, yaqulu, or qul. Madi, mudari, or fi'l amr. Okay, so in the beginning of a sentence you use inna, and any other time you use enna. Except you can use inna if it's following, it's not in the beginning, but it's following the verb qala. In any of its form. The past tense qala, the present tense yaqulu, the fi'l amra qul. Alright? So generally speaking, the rule is what? Inna and anna, use inna in the beginning of a sentence. Use anna anywhere else. The exception to that, you can also use, you also use inna, not only in the beginning of a sentence, but after the verb qala. After the verb qala.
Anna, like anna, always is indecent itself. I mean, it's not beginning.
Enna is not used in the beginning of a sentence. If it's in the beginning of a sentence, use inna. If it's not in the beginning of a sentence, use enna. Okay? Qala? Naam. Innaka lan tastati'a. Naam. Tayyib. Note that after qala, the particle inna is used and not enna. That's the point. That's all we want to make note of. That after qala, you still use inna. In the beginning of a sentence and after qala. Tayyib. Number six. Li ma. Li ma. Why? If it stands alone, a ha, h is added to it. Li ma, with ha on the end of it. Li ma. If it stands alone, this is called ha'u as-sakti. Ha'u as-sakti. This ha that's added to li ma, when it's by itself, this ha is called ha as-sakti. Yani, when you're stopping on this thing by itself, okay? And we're going to see in the lesson how it's used, but if it's not by itself, then you can just say lima. Like if somebody said, you went out of the classroom, right? Lima. But if you said, lima kharajta min al-fasl, then you're not going to put ha on it. Lima. You're just going to say lima. Lima kharajta. But if you put it by itself, lima, by itself like that, then you're going to put ha as-sakti. Okay, we'll see it in the lesson, inshallah. Number seven. We have learned in book one some examples of adjectives ending with fatta alif noon. An. For example, jaw'anu, atashanu, ghadbanu, mal'anu, and so on. We had all those words, remember? We said those words are what? Mamnu min as-sarf. Because of this ending, an. Fatta alif noon, right? Tayyib. Now we're saying, the feminine of such adjectives is on the pattern, fa'la. That pattern was what? Mamnu min as-sarf? Fa'lan. Fa'lan. Ghadban. Atashan. Ta'ban. Mal'an. Like this, right? The feminine for it is on the pattern, the wazn, fa'la. With alif maksura and no noon. Fa'ala. And the plural of both the masculine and feminine, the plural of either masculine or feminine, is on the pattern of fi'alun, fi'alun. Kasra, fatta alif, fi'al. For example, bilalun jaw'anu, ar-rijalu jiya'un. Fi'al, jiya'un. Aminatu jaw'a, without noon, right? Alif maksur, jaw'a. Instead of jaw'an, jaw'a. النِّسَاءُ جِيَاءٌ. Just like masculine and feminine plural is the same wazn. Except there are some exceptions. Like note that the plural of كَسْلَانُ, well, the feminine of it is كَسْلَى, right? Alif maksur without noon. But the plural of it should be, according to this pattern, it should be what? Yeah. كِسَال. It should be كِسَال. But it's not كِسَال, it's كُسَالَ. So this is an exception. And sometimes the plurals of these patterns, sometimes the plural doesn't fit the normal pattern, which should be fi'al. But sometimes it won't be, and kislan is one of those exceptions. Kusala. Naam. Naam.
Why is it
jiya? Well, it should be, you would think it would be jim waw ayn, right? But because of the kasra, in Arabic, the kasra following waw doesn't, it's not a proper pronunciation. So automatically, because of the ya, this is from the study of sarf. Okay, whenever you have a word that in the root of it has waw, but it's preceded by a kasra, they're going to change it to ya. Okay, this is a sarf matter, but they don't intend to deal with this in this lesson, obviously. Okay, but anyway, alhamdulillah, since you asked, it's because of the kasra. Because of the kasra of the first letter, followed by waw, changed to ya. Okay, some things, some words, the form of them are changing because of pronunciation. In Arabic, they don't like certain sounds, so they change it. Okay, so the waw is changed to ya. Okay, point number 8. Hati, give or bring. Hati. Huh? Hati, give. Means give, any, or bring. Note its isnad to the other pronouns of the second person. Meaning when you're speaking to somebody. Singular, plural, masculine or feminine. Okay, when you're speaking to somebody, you're telling them, give me. There's a masculine singular form, there's a masculine plural form. If you're speaking to a group of men, and you're saying, give me. As opposed to you speaking to one man saying, give me. There's a masculine singular form, masculine plural form. You're speaking to one singular woman, to your daughter or your sister or your wife, there's a singular, feminine singular form, and there's a feminine plural form. Okay, so the masculine singular, for example, is Ya Ahmadu Hati. That's the singular form. But if you were talking to plural males, you would say Ya Ikhwanu Hatu. Hatu? Now, Tayyib. Okay, feminine singular, Hati. Kasra Ya. Kasra Ya. As opposed to Hati, Hati. Okay, Ya Zainabu Hati. Ya Akhawatu Hatina. Hatina. So these are the forms for this verb hat. You have to remember how it changes from singular to plural, from masculine to feminine. Hati, Hatu, Hati, Hatina. Right? You just gotta memorize it. Number 9, Khud. Take. This is from the verb Akhada. It's an irregular verb, right? Akhada, because it begins with Hamza, Mahmuz. Khudh, take. You will learn the imperative form of the verb in lesson 14. Okay, the imperative means the fi'l amr, the command form. How do you form it? We'll learn that in lesson 14. But in any case, it came in this lesson, so we're just mentioning the khudh from akhada. Akhada means he took. Ya'khudhu, he takes. The command form for it is khudh. Okay, khudh, akhada. Like akala, right? Akala, he ate. Ya'kulu, the command form is what? Kul. So you see something is deleted in the command form, right? Kul, khudh, like this. Okay, well, we'll deal with that in lesson 14. Number 10. Fafariha bi al-mudarrisu kathiran. Kathiran. This is the word that we want to note. Bi and kathiran. Fafariha bi, huh? This is ba, harf jar, and ya al-mutakallam, ana. Fafariha bi المدرس كثيرا. So the teacher was greatly pleased with me. Be means with me, right? And كثيرا means يعني فرح كثيرا. He was greatly pleased or pleased very much, a lot. كثيرا. Okay? Here فا means so. ففرح. فرح is the verb. فا means so. ففرح بي. And بي means with me. Note, فرحت بك. I was pleased with you. فرحت أنا. فرحت بك أنت. فرحوا بنا. فرحوا. فرح is the verb. فرحوا is واو الجماعة, right? They, هم فرحوا بنا. With us. نحن. طيب. بك بنا بأنا. Like this. طيب. Next page. أفرحت به. أفرحت به. فرح is the verb. تا is the فاعل. Right? أفرحت به. Notice that the pronoun he should be the object of the verb, right? But it was intercepted by what? A preposition. حرف جر. So it became مجرور به. أفرحت به. Were you pleased with him? يعني همزة الاستفهام. فرحة is the verb. تا is the فاعل. And the indirect object به. حرف جر. Be. And the who, the pronoun who, which means هو. The pronoun who is pronounced he here because of what? It's preceded by كسرة. It originally should be هو. But you can't say in Arabic, you don't say به. You don't say be whom. But you have to change it to be he, be him. That's why you say, you don't say عليهم. It's originally whom, right? عليهم. Should be عليهم, but no. علي, because of the ya, كسر ya, change it to him. عليهم السلام, right? الأنبياء عليهم السلام. عليهم, نعم. It's for pronunciation, they do it for pronunciation, because they don't like the sound. They don't like he, who. It doesn't go with that, be who. They don't like that. They say be he, be him. عليهم, نعم. We still have one more point to go.
I know you said that they generally, the people of our time regulated the Arabic.
No, the people of our time didn't regulate this. This is the way the Arabs, who made up the Arabic language, this is how they made it. People of our time, they do whatever they want. They don't even speak Arabic. We're talking about the real Arabs. This is how they made it.
Back in the time of Rasulullah, did they use these same rulings?
They use these rulings just like this. That's what we got it from. We got it from them. Not from these people today. If you take anything from the Arabs today, you'll be twisted. They don't even know Arabic today. That's the way the Arabs in their speech, in the ancient Arabs, they made it like this. They made it like this. Because in the Quran, it's like this. It's like this in the Quran. That's the real Arabic. People today know. They might say anything. Okay, last point, number 11. Not all of them. There are some Arabs, mashallah, they know Arabic. But most of them, like us, most of us, we don't know English. Really? I mean, that's the truth of the matter. Most of us, we don't know English. If most of us, if any one of us, if somebody said, I'll pay you to teach some English grammar, some high school English grammar, we'll be in trouble. We won't get paid because we won't be able to do it. We can't do it because you don't know it. I mean, we forgot it. We might have known it at one time. We don't know it now. Most of us. And most of them, they don't know Arabic. So it's not like we're not trying to put them down. Actually, we're the same way. We don't know English. They don't know Arabic. It's the same. It's the same. Means the same. Limada. No. Lima means limada. Means the same thing. Why? Okay, last point, number 11. Note that ذهبت, or however you want to read it, can be read in four ways with four meanings. It can be read ذهبت, which means she went, right? It can be read ذهبت أنت, which means you, masculine, singular, went. It can be read ذهبت أنت, which means you, feminine, singular, went. Or it can be read ذهبت, which means First person singular. I went. Ana dhahabtu. Ana dhahabtu. Naam. Okay, so when you see this verb, the letter thal, ha, ba, and ta, if it's unvoweled, it could be dhahabat, it could be dhahabta, dhahabti, or dhahabtu. If it's no vowels, you have to look at the context of the sentence. And from the context of the sentence, it'll be clear what it means. Okay? So this is not really a problem. Alright, we have a lot of exercises for this lesson, so we have to get busy. We have to do homework this week. Mandatory. Okay? I'm not going to tell you I'm going to check it next week to see who has the homework. I'm not going to tell you I'm going to do that. Okay? I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to check it. I'm not letting you know that I'm going to check it. You get it? I'm not going to tell you. You know? But if you don't do it, and I come and check it, and I ask for it, don't be surprised. Okay? But I'm not going to tell you I'm going to check it. Alright? I'm not going to tell you that the fail and the foul and the maful and B is going to be on the exam. I'm not going to tell you that. But when we have the exam, if you see it, don't be surprised. Next week, inshallah. Yeah, we have exam every week. In the beginning of the class, I ask questions, inshallah, ask the exam. Alright? Please do the homework. Do these exercises, okay? As best you can. Do some of them. We're going to do them in class. But, you know, if you try to do it, with what we discussed here, what's in the key, if you try to do it, it will make it go quickly in the class. If you did some of them, and if you got it wrong, okay, you can fix it. It's no problem. Write it in pencil, you know, or write it in your notebook or whatever. But try to do the exercises as much as you can. Okay, let's just look quickly. We have a few minutes. Look at the instructions for the exercise. Okay, turn to the Arabic lesson. Turn to the Arabic lesson. Inshallah, next week we're going to read the Arabic lesson and we're going to do as many of the exercises as possible. And if we don't finish them, and we probably won't, then we'll finish them in the next class. But at least next week we'll read the text, the dialogue in the beginning, which is very long. And then we're going to do as many of the exercises as possible. Okay, turn to the Arabic text, but turn to the exercises. The exercises on page 38. Exercises on page 38. The first exercise says, Ajib an al-asil al-atiyah, answer the following questions. That's based on the dialogue, your understanding of it, okay? Second exercise, دع هذه العلامة صح أمام الجملة الصحية وهذه علامة خطأ أمام الجملة غير الصحية. Meaning put this check mark in front of the correct sentences and put the X mark in front of the ones which are not correct. Okay, exercise number 3, next page 39. أجب عن الأسئلة الآتية. Answer the following questions. Notice it says in brackets, هذه الأسئلة ليست مبنية على الدرس السابق. Huh? These questions are not based upon the lesson number 6. They are not. These questions are not based upon the lesson. Meaning, the answers are answers from yourself. Just answer the question. You don't got to look back in the dialogue. These are just general questions, okay? Exercise number 4. أنف الفاعل في كل من الجملة العاتية واضبط الضمير بالشكل. أنف means make it مؤنث. أنف means make it مؤنث. Make feminine. The فاعل, make the فاعل feminine. In each of the following sentences. And واضبط الضمير بالشكل. And the ضمير, they want you to put the voweling on the ضمير. So we will know if this ضمير is تا or T or تو or sukoon or whatever, okay? So make it feminine, and then make sure you vowel it, so we know what you're talking about. Question number 5. Udbut al-dhamir bil-shakl. Okay, again, they want the dhamir in this thing, they want you to put the vowels in it. In fi kulli min al-af'al al-warida fi al-jumla al-atiya, in all of the verbs, al-af'al al-warida, all of the verbs that are mentioned in the following sentences, they want you to put the voweling on the dhamir. Ana, is it ذهبت, ذهبتا, ذهبتو, ذهبتا, what? Okay, that's what they want you to do in the exercise. In each of the فاعلs, the أفعال. Number 6, تأمل ما يلي. They just want you to reflect upon this. Okay, we talked about it in the key, that this word, ذال, ها, با, تا, it could be ذهبت, ذهبتا, ذهبتي, or ذهبتو. Could be any one of them. That's all they want you to pay attention to. Number 7, تأمل المثالين الآتيين. Here, this is again dealing with Naam and la and bala. Okay? How we use this expression bala. Ta'ammal al-mithalain al-atiyain. I want to read this with you right now. Afahamta darsa ya Ali? This is a normal question, right? Afahamta darsa? Either you're going to say naam, fahamtuhu. Or you're going to say la, ma fahamtuhu. Naam wa la, right? That's what is a normal affirmative question. But if it's a negative question, manfi, amma fahamta darsa ya Ali? Now you're asking the question in the negative. Amma fahamta? Have you not understood the lesson, ya Ali? And either you're going to affirm that you did not understand it, you're going to affirm that I did not understand it, or you're going to say, naam, naam, I didn't understand it. Naam, I did not understand it. Or you're going to negate that statement. He's saying, did you not understand it? And you're not in agreement with that. You want to say, rather, I did understand it. So here you're not going to say naam, because if you say naam, it means naam, I didn't understand it. And you don't want to say I didn't understand it. You want to say, rather, I did understand it. So instead of saying naam, you're going to say bala. Okay? In a normal question, somebody said, did you understand the lesson? You're going to say yes. Because they're saying, did you understand it? You say, yes, I understood it. Or if you didn't, you're going to say no. No, I did not understand it. But if he says, did you not understand it? And you say, naam, I did not understand it. Or you say, bala, I did understand it. Okay, this is how it's used, okay? And this is always confusing English people, because I don't think we have anything like this really. In English, we don't have this, right? So it's confusing. It is yes or no. But actually, the same principle is here, right? The principle of a double negative. If you say, I do not have nothing, that means you have something. If you say, I do not have nothing, nothing, I do not have nothing, that means I do have something. This is the principle that we're dealing with here. Okay? But we don't normally talk, we don't think about it like that. But that's what it really is. A double negative means affirmative. Means positive. If somebody says, I have nothing, that means I have nothing. But if you say, I do not have nothing, that's the opposite. That means I do have something. Okay, you might can trick somebody with that. If they came to stick you up and you say, I do not have nothing. I do not have nothing. They think you don't speak English. I do not have nothing. Say, you're lying. I do have something, but I don't want to tell you though. Right? All right. Yeah. But. All right. Okay, so in this exercise, number 8, they are working with this use of naam and la and bala. Okay, so there's some questions there and you got to look at them, figure out how to answer them. In exercise number 9, it says, اقرأ الأمثلة ثم أجب عن الأسئلة الآتية مستعملة الضمائر. You have to use, okay, read the examples, then answer the following questions using the pronouns, the ضمائر. What's pronouns? The pronouns for the third person, singular and plural, masculine and feminine. Who and whom for masculine, singular and plural, and ha and hunna for feminine, singular and plural. Okay, so this is an exercise using the third person pronouns, masculine, feminine, singular, and plural. Ra'aytuhu, ra'aytuhum, ra'aytuha, ra'aytuhunna. That's what they want you to do with that. Exercise number 10. Okay, we can stop here because we're not going to get that far, right? Or maybe you might. It's time for that then?
Yeah. According to that one, what?
According to that one? Khalid is here. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we have a few seconds. Okay. Exercise number 10 says, "اقرأ المثالين." Read the two examples. ثم اربط بين كل من الجملتين. Then tie the two sentences together. مستعملا أن using أن, knowing that أن is من أخواته إن. Okay. Remembering that أن is from أخواته إن. So they're giving you two sentences. They want you to join them together into one sentence using enna, knowing, keeping in mind that enna is from akhawatu inna. So the ism enna is mansub and khabaru enna is marfoon. Exercise number 11 is dealing with the numbers, with the feminine ma'adud. Please practice this one. If you don't do anything else for homework, make sure you do that one. And number 11, the feminine ma'adud. So those numbers, you got to practice with them. No, don't just do this one if you don't do anything else. Do all of the rest of them. طيب 12 اقرا ما يلي ثم اكتب ما كتاب. Okay, here I want you to write the numbers with words instead of numerals. And number 13, they want you to write these, use all of these words with the numbers from 11 to 20, paying attention to what? If the ma'dud is masculine or feminine. Make these words tamyiz for the number. Use the number with these words as the ma'dud, the tamyiz, but paying attention if the ma'dud is masculine or feminine, how you change the numbers. That's the adhan. 14, 15, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.